like I had convinced myself that somehow June 3rd was a Wednesday and the 10th was a Wednesday, which doesn't make any sense because today's the 1st.
And yeah, I don't know why you.
And I know that. I know both how calendars and math work.
Do you now? But do you?
Hey everybody, welcome back to the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, and today it's just a conversation with Shabby because she's the only one that showed up. So Shelly is off socializing. Todd is on some beach somewhere. And Shabby and I are just sitting here, although Shabby's getting ready to leave for Puerto Rico.
And I'll be sitting on a beach somewhere soon, too.
Yes. And I'll be sitting on my back porch in Brainerd watching the cars fly by on I-24. It kind of, if you close your eyes, Shabby.
Is it kind of like the sounds of the waves?
Kind of sounds like the beach, except for the J brakes and the tire explosions and that kind of stuff. Other than that, it kind of sounds like the beach. If you close your eyes and think. But anyway, enough about that. Shabby, how are things in Hixson tonight?
Doing just fabulous. And we're, I don't know, just looking forward to some downtime across the city. You know, the schools have ended, kids are home, everybody's ramping up for summer vacations, and it's been really nice. Here's the thing, though, what I don't understand. Why is it that the week after a holiday Monday is always feels longer and harder than any other week of the year? You know, those short weeks after a holiday Monday are always the hardest.
Well, I can't say much about that this week because it's been really, really, I need to knock on some wood. It's been very, very quiet on campus. And my boss has been out of town for a little over a week. And so, and today, while I did some work and I was productive for a part of the day, most of the day was spent catching up with the soccer tournament that we will talk about a little bit later. It's been long, but it's been long for different reasons. So.
Well, at least you got to enjoy it. I think the rest of us had to work really hard to pack 5 days of work into 4 days.
Good enough for government work, Shabby. So. I hope the governor doesn't listen to our podcast or anybody affiliated with the state of Tennessee. Because if you are listening, we worked very, very hard. And we were there all day. We were there extra hours. As a matter of fact, I just got home. So
hard at work all day.
We've got a couple of matches to talk about. We've got a bunch of upcoming things to talk about. And then finally, because, you know, we're not going to go too deep into the two matches. We want to point you guys over, although I would imagine most of the people who are listening to the sound of my voice or sound of Shabby's voice already listened to the 109, but they did a couple of, well, I know I've only listened to their review of the Birmingham match. I haven't listened to what they said about Maryland, but they do some good recaps of the game. So go and check those out. We're not going to do kind of deep dives into those. We've got some kind of large overarching topics to talk about with those two matches and then go over the upcoming ones. And after that, you know, there's some soccer related stuff that's going on. I mentioned the tournament that's over in Cary, North Carolina. You know, for those of you who have been watching Ted Lasso, that season/series finale was recent. We won't spoil it, but might talk about that. And then what a story that I've been following for quite a long time, and I've said multiple times that I think it's one of the more intriguing stories in lower division soccer right now. And that's the story of Huntsville City and how they're doing Next Pro a little bit differently than other Next Pro teams are doing it. And so there was a story today, I'm thinking, I can't remember what I can't remember which soccer publication it is, about them, about what they're doing, about how they're doing it a little differently. I would, Soccer America, I think that's it. It is behind a paywall. If you know how to get around that, get around it and read the story. And we may talk a little bit about that also. But first, Shabby,
mm-hmm.
we had a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out with, we started out with a bang. We kind of ended with a bang too.
Yeah.
Literally after the men's game. But first was FC Birmingham. And so just how were you thinking? What were you thinking when we went into the match? How did you enjoy the match? And you got any kind of overarching themes or thoughts you have about how the women played against FC Birmingham?
Yeah, well, so here's the first thing. After their performance against the Nashville Rhythm, I knew we had a solid team, and I was very confident in their ability, strong team, just great skills, really athletic. And I had that in mind. And so I'm there early because those of you that don't know, I'm always like setting up flags and, you know, helping out TIFO. And I'm watching the, you know, pre-match practice out on the field. And watching the other team, I already knew it was going to be an easy win. Because I could look at them and tell that they just did not have the skills, the power, the speed, the athleticism that our team has. It's the kind of team that we would have been competitive with last season, but yeah, this season it was a marked difference in just caliber of players. And so, I mean, I already knew, like, we were going to win and we were going to win handily, but nothing could have prepared me for the just absolute stomping that was a 7-0 win.
And it wasn't that close.
No, because, I mean, we were pulling people out. We were letting try different things. I feel like Coach Douglas was trying to put some mercy rules into effect, and it still wasn't enough. Like, they just could not hang with our girls.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they had played, I don't know when they played the Charlotte Eagles. It was their previous match before ours. I don't know if it was the week before or it was the same week. But they, you know, they lost to Charlotte 11-0. So that tells, you know, Charlotte's very, very, very good. You know, they are, I think, WPSL put out their kind of power rankings, and they're the top ranked team in the South, I believe, and one of the top five or six in the country. So, you know, a big loss to Charlotte doesn't necessarily mean that they're terrible, but 11-0 to anybody is pretty bad. And you're right. When you saw them warm up, I remember when I would travel with the boys, I would always watch the warm ups and try to determine from simply the warm ups if I thought the other team had the skill and talent. And sometimes you can't really judge by rondos or small sided games, but you could tell that that team was really young. You could tell that team was not as fit as our women were, and not in shape.
That's the word I would say as well. They were not as fit.
Yeah. And, you know, right from kickoff, it was all one way traffic. The ball was, I think it was rarely on our half and rarely in any kind of position of danger. Caroline was the most bored person in the stadium. And so you don't really learn a whole lot about your team in those situations, other than they did not take them for granted. And, you know, they didn't, you know, it's like, you know, like a cat, they didn't play with their food, you know. They just went in and did what they had to do. Summer got a hat trick, a perfect hat trick with a header score off her left and her right foot. And
that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. And KD got a goal. Ava got a goal. I mean,
we were just passing them out like Oprah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and what's the young lady's name? She's an 06 with the Academy. Is it Bailey? Got an assist. I believe she wears number 9, I believe. Is it Bailey? Oh, gosh, I should know this. But she's a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And went
out
there.
You're talking about Addie Chapman?
Oh, it's Addie. Yes, sorry. Yeah, sorry, mm-hmm. Addie, if you listen to this, you don't, because the Utes don't listen to podcasts, I don't think. we could put that on the TikTok, and maybe Addie will hear it, and she can hear me apologizing to her. So yeah, Addie came in and played well and had a nice assist. So all around, it was a fun day out, and it shows that we are probably in the upper half of we'll find out this weekend when we play two more matches, but hopefully.
I mean, right now we are definitely in the upper half of our conference right. table, but you know, we're tied with like four other teams, so
yeah,
it's too early.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, from the preseason rankings, and I don't even know what those mean. I don't know what they mean with the best of leagues. I definitely don't know what they mean with WPSL. Mm-hmm. But 865 Alliance was, I think, preseason ranked in the top 10 in the South. So, you know, so they're the, I think, the remnants of the Knoxville team that we played last year. And now while we were more competitive with them than Nashville, we still ended up on the wrong side of some of those results. So I think it's going to be a good match. I think the Knoxville match will tell us a lot about what the rest of our season will look like. I don't know anything about the Fire. So we'll just have to wait. Cause I think you can't even look at their previous matches. Cause I believe, am I right to say that this is Knoxville and Atlanta's first game? Like we're their first game. So I think that's right. I don't know what it is about CFC playing like 20 games before anybody else in the leagues that we're in play any games.
No, I mean, here's the thing. It's only like the first, you know, the first week or so. So it's okay. We've had two games in. I'm not as mad at WPSL as I am at NISA. The complete unevenness that yeah. is the table at NISA is a travesty, and frankly, it really is, and it's just more of what, you know, we jokingly say NISA being NISA, but mm-hmm. it just continues to show the league's incompetence and disorganization.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Please,
but we're not talking
Lord,
about that yet.
Deliver us from NISA.
So that's enough about us talking about the match. Todd caught up with Anna Lanter. You know her.
Who?
The captain of the women's squad, and talk to her a little bit about the match. So why don't we just let Todd and Anna talk a little bit about it, and then we'll come back right after that. How's that sound, Shabby?
I love it.
All right. So here's Todd and Anna.
Hey, this is Todd with the 423 Soccer Podcast. I am just after a big win for CFC Women over SC Birmingham, and kindly joining me is Anna Lander, starting left back. For year number two, correct?
Yes.
All right. So tonight, a very different match than last week. First of all, last week was a huge draw. Come back tonight in the first 10 minutes, you see it's going to be a totally different kind of game. So kind of what's your mindset going into a game like this?
Definitely keeping the intensity because we are still building our foundation. And so basically into that huddle, we knew that, hey, they had a rough score last week, but you never know who might get new players. And so we wanted to build on what we worked on in practices and make sure that every player that was rostered could touch the field today. So we did just that.
So you come out, you end up with a 7-0 win, and you guys got Knoxville coming up. So you kind of got to flip the script in your
yes.
head and kind of like enjoy this one, then move on. But so what's the mindset going into Knoxville?
We really want to possess and set a tone. Knoxville is a very like good team, has a lot of local talent around them. But I think we are fully capable of competing with them. And so basically just having a mentality of we're going to score goals and we're going to possess.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time and good luck the rest of the season.
Appreciate it.
So yeah, I think Anna said it best. I mean, you know, they're gonna try to go into that Knoxville game and do what they do, possess the ball and compete. And you know, like she said, I think we all expect this game to be more competitive than FC Birmingham. But it's gonna be a nice barometer. I guess when you only play 8 games, each game is a pretty big barometer of where you're going to be. So thanks Todd for that. And thanks Anna for spending some time with him after the match. The only other thing, you know, we did have a couple of women leave the team it's unfortunate, you know, for a couple of reasons. I don't know what's going on with them. It could have been homesickness. You know, when you've got young kids, really, I can call them kids because of my age, college students age. And, you know, it might have not been great. It's not great for us because I think that's 2 players that were using housing. So that means that we could have, you know, those spots could have been used for somebody else. And so that's unfortunate. One of them started against Nashville and played really well in the midfield. And so anyway, I don't know if we need to say anything more about it than that, Shebby. It's frustrating from a club standpoint, but it's hard for me to get upset at 18, 19 year olds who get moved somewhere for a summer. Maybe they're disappointed. Maybe they don't feel like they're at home and they decide to leave. It's frustrating, but you know, it is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah, it is frustrating and it's a little disappointing. I was hoping we'd get a chance to see Michaela Leal, but you know, she was a keeper and she was, you know, second string. So it's one of those that I don't want to speculate on other people's thoughts, but maybe there wasn't going to be enough of an opportunity for her to get field time. And yeah, maybe this wasn't the best use of her summer. And if that's the case, I understand that decision too. I am sad that we just didn't get the chance to know these phenomenal young women, because our supporters groups and our community, you know, takes special pride in our teams. We care for our players genuinely, and it's always such a pleasure to watch them grow and develop. So, sad for what might have been, but super, super thrilled to have the team that we have, mm-hmm, and looking forward to watching the rest of these young ladies develop.
Yeah, so you mentioned Leal. The other one was, is it Mara Grootkamp? Is it, mm-hmm, Mara was her first name?
Yeah.
And Mara played really well in the first game. And who knows? I mean, I think that they both came from the same place. You know, it could have been one didn't want to be left alone. Who knows why they left? It is frustrating. But again, like I said, young people do things for different reasons. So as I know by working with them, for my day job, who knows what's going on with them, but if they need to do what they need to do for themselves, then it's hard for me to be, I'm not going to be angry about it. I can be frustrated, and it's a missed opportunity for the club to have 2 other people who could have used housing. I'm sure there were other players that that coach had that we just didn't have space for, and now we have space, but now it's too late. So
now it's too late. Yeah.
Yeah. It's frustrating, but you know, whatever it was, I hope things go well for the 2 of them. And who knows, the door may be open next year if they decide to come back. We'll leave that up to coach and the coaching staff. Now next week I got the Maryland game. Now that was fun. Yeah, I don't really know. In my notes here, I put defense amazing, offense lacking creativity, and you know who scores again. So I think,
and I think that says it all.
I think that's the whole match. you know, it was funny. When he was lining up for that free kick, you know, I was like, I told Heather, I'm like, I think this is a little too close. I think, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to get the ball up and down, because it's right outside the 18. I wonder if he's going to shoot it low thinking that the other team's going to jump. And she looked at me and smiled because she doesn't know what I'm talking about. And, and you know, it's not like So anyway, then I took up my phone and I was going to record the free kick, and I fumbled around with my big fat fingers and couldn't get it done. I almost dropped the phone and missed the goal. And I didn't. I caught it. I looked up and he scored and we all went nuts. And she's like, "I'm so glad you didn't record that, because if you'd recorded it, it wouldn't have gone in." I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if that's how that actually works.
It feels that way though.
But I did not. So Marcus, you have me and my fumbly fingers to thank for your goal. I think it was probably 50-50 me not filming and your talent. It's about 50-50, and I'll take half credit, right?
Oh,
that's fair.
It's just half credit. Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think we do need to say a lot about Nagelstad's talent. I mean, Marcus is golden boot. Like,
seriously.
It's phenomenal. And it was a beauty of a kick. I mean, over the wall, but under the bar, like, and as many times as we've seen those not go in, it's always such a joy when they sink, you know, like,
yeah. But, you know, and I think Todd brought this up maybe in our DM conversation, where he was like, you know, he has been dangerous with almost every free kick he takes. So yeah, it's either on frame, or if it's close enough to force the keeper to worry about it. Like, it hits the frame or it's just wide. He's not missing by a lot ever. And he's putting a lot of them on target. And again, that was very close to the 18, and those are really hard to get up and down in that space. And he left no doubt. I do think the keeper may have gotten a fingertip to it, but he was not keeping that ball out. he's just amazing. He really is.
Yeah.
I think after it went in, Todd texted me and said, you know, goal scorers change games. And that is, I mean, you know, that is so true. If you have just a person who has a knack for scoring, he can be out of the game for 89 minutes, not see the ball for 89 minutes. And the one time he sees it, he puts it in the back of the net. I mean, that's what you pay strikers for. And my goodness, am I so glad that we found Marcus. And right now, when the offense seems to be muddling a little bit, just like not being very creative and possessing the ball and doing all that stuff, but just not doing it, he's just taking the team, kind of putting them on his back. And I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Now, it is a lot of fun to watch, but I take just a little bit of offense, though, to you saying he's got the team on his back, because this is not a situation where, you know, he's not a, if we can talk about Ted Lasso for a minute, this is not like a Zava situation where there's just one person doing all the work, okay? It's not quite like that. The whole team is stepping up and doing what they can. He's a phenomenal talent, and we definitely appreciate it. And I think right now he does have a little extra load to carry while we've got so many out, you know, with injuries, and we're not able to create as many opportunities to give him service. You know, we're not seeing as much creativity. So, you know, to your point, you know, we're lacking a little, but I don't want to say he's carrying the whole team on his shoulders. I don't think that's fair.
Well, he's at least carrying half the team on his shoulders.
You're just not going to give on this, are you?
He's carrying the offense on his shoulders. The defense is doing their own damn job, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
We've got five brick walls in the back, you know, the back four and our keeper.
Beautiful.
You know, the center back pair, Prepolita and Bowers, have just been, I mean, it's not just an improvement. I mean, we seem so settled in the back. It's also fun to watch. And Prepolita's probably our man of the match for two or three of the first five or six games that we've played. It's been fun to watch. Unfortunately, I tweeted this out. McGrath has picked up this really bad habit of getting yellows that nobody really deserves.
No, know, like, oh, I think it's time to punish a random player. Let's punish McGrath.
Like, do the NISA refs just not like the way he looks? Do they not like his accent? I mean, what is going on? Like, this one this past week, I have no idea what he got the yellow for. Like, I'm not even sure it was a foul to begin with. Then no. The ref waits like 5 or 6 minutes, it seems like, before he gives him the yellow. So maybe he said something. You know, maybe McGrath said something to the ref. That's the only thing I could think of. And then last week with the Albion, that simulation yellow, which, I mean, it was fine. If you don't want to call it a penalty, wave it off. But there was contact. He didn't dive. I just, right. Ugh. And so I believe we're going to lose him for the Maryland game. And, you know, he's not a player you want to remove from a team that's already having a little bit of trouble creating. Mm-hmm. So that's at least we'll get his suspension out of the way and we can move on. But that's frustrating.
I think you're frustrated, Jim. Tell me how you really
frustrated.
Feel.
I was when that happened. I was like, wait a minute. How many does he? I went back and tried to, you know, kind of file through the cobwebs of my mind to try to figure out how many yellows he had. Did this equate to a suspension? Because I was I'm not happy about it at all. Because we, you know, he is somebody that we really need. But it gives somebody else an opportunity to step up. So we'll see what happens when we play Maryland. Because we play them right again next week. Or this weekend. Shoot, that's tomorrow. No, that's
it's
Saturday.
It's tomorrow. And so now we're back to the weirdness that is NISA scheduling. And
yeah, it's not tomorrow. It's Saturday, right?
Saturday, but still, it's
weird.
It's weird.
Yes, playing the same team back to back like that. I think we're doing the same thing really with Savannah. Like we're playing two road games in Savannah, and they're only like 3 weeks apart. So it's just weird. As you said, please, spaghetti monster, whoever you believe in, Mother Nature. Please deliver us from NISA.
It's time.
Well, so that's enough, I think, for those two games. A huge win against Birmingham and a huge win for the table against Maryland. Both two big wins. And then like I said, we started it with a bang with Maryland, with Birmingham. We ended it with a bang. We had a lovely fireworks show after.
And it was a really good fireworks show.
Yeah, too. They were neat. They were different. A lot of red and green, felt like Christmas, but
hey, maybe that's what it was on discount. I'm not mad at it. There were enough of the pretty gold white shimmer ones.
Oh yeah,
those are my favorites, the ones that kind of explode like
They look like weeping willows almost.
Yes, and they crackle. They're my favorites. Yes. Those are my absolute favorites.
Yep. I'm not saying anything about your age or your whatever, but those are my grandfather's favorites too.
I love them so much.
Yeah, those were his favorites. Now, his favorites were just the big ones that exploded and then like just kind of quietly went into that kind of, they faded into like the almost like a weeping willow. But these sparkled at the end. So they were extra special.
Yeah, those were my favorite.
They were fun. It was a fun show. It's always nice. And the pictures that the club put out, you know, oh my gosh, you know, how adorable are the Naglstads sitting there watching?
Oh,
they had the picture of them last year for fireworks. Uh-huh. Now they did it again. So I think it's becoming a thing. I think Marcus probably goes up and says, hey, maybe they collect firework pictures of themselves.
Well, at least this time they actually got to sit on a bench though, instead of just on the floor.
Yeah, but it was adorable. Great pictures, great night, beautiful weather, good crowd. Need more people at the women's match. Y'all, we need to get our friends and drag them to a women's match. They will not be disappointed. It's the same atmosphere. It's just fewer people. We need to get some more people in those stands.
We need to fill up those stands. I'm telling you, women's soccer is where it's at. This team is phenomenal. The play is exciting.
And those kits.
The kits are gorgeous. I bought one. That's the only jersey I bought this year, but I bought the golden sash. I sure did. I love that kit. Yep. But I mean, seriously, and the game day experience, it's the same. I mean, you get your mm-hmm. beer, you get your food, you got your yep. food trucks, you watch yep. the game. Like, it's so good. It's the best deal in professional sports. You know, I mean, it's like a tenth the cost of going to a movie these days.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got to get,
tell everybody, yep. come to the women's matches.
Yep. So if you were at, if you're at the Birmingham match, all you need to do is find one person to go with you. And each mm-hmm. of us brings one friend. Then next week, the week after that, they can bring a friend and we could pay this forward, right?
We absolutely yeah. can. If our long-term goal and dream is to see a pro women's team, we've got to yeah. grow this crowd. They've got to grow their fan base. Mm-hmm. And they're doing everything they need to out on the field. Now it's up to us to come out and support them.
Absolutely. Well said. Speaking of that, they're on the road tomorrow. Today's, as we're recording this on Thursday night, probably later today, as you're listening to this, they'll be heading up the road to Knoxville to A65 Alliance. Then Saturday, the men play in Maryland, like we said earlier. Sunday, the women play in Atlanta. It mm-hmm. is a weekend chock full of 11 sports glory.
And hopefully 11 will actually be able to give us a feed.
No, we're not going to see anything. We're not going to see anything. We're not. Just close your eyes and imagine the three matches, because that's about as clear as it's going to be.
Which is an absolute shame, because yes. Gabriel and Zekka are doing a phenomenal job. Yeah, they're just killing it with their commentary. Yep. Like it's yeah. really enjoyable to watch them.
I think Maryland, I think we'll be able to see the Maryland match. I have zero idea if we're going to see anything from Knoxville in Atlanta. But our friends in Maryland, surely they'll come through, right? Surely they'll come through. Anyway, we'll see.
Yes, we're going to keep on believing.
And then we have a week to get ready for the 10th. The 10th is huge in a number of ways. First of all, the women are going on the road to take on league leading and one of the best teams in the country, Nashville. That same team, we came back from 2-0 down to tie.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on with my throat. And then I sound like I'm upset, but I am just.
He's just all choked up because Saturday the 10th is also Juan's testimonial match.
Yep. I'm staring at the limited edition bobblehead right now. The Juan Hernandez number 10 wearing the Navy kit. Yep, it's his testimonial. And
yeah, against Pumas FC.
Right. Against Pumas FC. And I think I don't know if I've told this story on this podcast. I know I've told it to Todd. I think I said it. I think we texted it back and forth between all of us, but I'll never forget. This is how I remember it. And maybe we can get Juan on next Thursday and I can ask him this in person. What I remember is him showing up to tryouts. And I remember them being kind of the all-call tryouts at Finley Stadium. I'm sure he was not there. He was invited to be there. I don't remember the story. I used to know the story. I can't remember. He knew somebody on the team, I think. He was not just there randomly. And I remember watching those tryouts being like, who the hell is that blonde guy? And because he just stood out. He just stood yeah. out. And I remember then, I don't know if it was some point in the season, he comes in as a sub, and it's the first time I remember seeing him. I don't remember the game. I just remember him coming on as a sub, and he's playing. And I lean over to Heather and to the other kind of our soccer family that used to sit around us and where we used to sit. And I was like, hey, I remember I told you about that guy that I saw at tryouts? That's him. That's him, that blonde guy right there. And little did I know that was – you know, it was Juan Hernandez at that time, but now it's Juan Hernandez.
Right.
And that one, I guess that was what, 2015, 2016? I don't remember. Again, if we get it, hopefully we get to talk to him about it, because it's just amazing what he has meant to the club. He is the last kind of part of CFC 1.0, I guess, you know, who that is still in some way with the team from in a playing capacity. So this is kind of a passing of an era, and not only for him, but for the club, you know, I'm glad we have Zeca back in the booth, but you know, when Zeca with his last match, that was kind of a, you know, kind of a passing of the torch. Then Juan was the only one left. And now, you know, it's the first part of the club we've moved on, and we moved on to, you know, a professional side, and the club has grown, and he's been through so much of what this club has been through. It's going to be meaningful and special to have that testimonial with the team that he came to us from. Right. And so it's gotta be special for him to have the two teams that probably mean a lot to him on the field. I don't know if it's going to be, have you heard anything about how we're going to structure this? You know, sometimes the player plays one half for one team and one half for the other team.
The other for the other. Considering that's so traditional, I would expect that to happen. But no, we haven't heard much about what this is, you know, what it's going to do. But what we have heard, and I think it's really awesome, and we need to make sure people know, is that for this testimonial match, for every 500 tickets sold,
yes,
CFC will donate $1,000 to the CFC Academy Scholarship Fund. And what a beautiful tribute to him, and a way to, you know, honor the legacy for Juan and what he means to our CFC Academy as well. Just more opportunities for our youth to play sports, especially if, you know, maybe they didn't think they could or didn't have the means. Like, this is so exciting.
And if you're wondering, annual pass holders, I did ask the club, you know, do annual passes count? Like, do the number of tickets that we've purchased already, do those count towards the 500? And they said, yes, they do. So if you've purchased an annual pass, you have already contributed a little bit to getting the contribution from the club to the academy, but that's not stopping you from buying another ticket and giving it to somebody, right? I mean, it's not.
I want to see that stadium fill up for Juan.
Yeah, it's what he deserves, and it'll be a special night indeed. I'm looking forward to it very much. So
the only thing about it that makes me sad is that by choosing to be there for Juan's testimonial, it means that there's a chunk of us that won't be on the road for the women's away match.
Absolutely. Because that was the first match back for the CFC women was the away game at Nashville. And so that one's always going to have something special, in addition to the fact that, you know, they're the standard that we're trying to get to and surpass. So, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate also that Summer is going to be, I'm assuming, you know, Summer may not travel, but I'm assuming she will. She'll be in Nashville with the team.
With her team and not able to be there for her husband's testimonial. Right. Yes, yep, I know. That's a serious bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer too. But what can you do? This is the trouble with scheduling. So that's pretty much it for the matches. We talked about the two we've already played. We've talked about the five matches that are coming up. We'll probably talk more about the matches on the 10th next week. We may have a little more information. And again, I'll reach out to Juan and see if he has time to talk with us a little bit about his testimonial. That'll be fun. Other soccer related stuff that's going on before we let these folks go. I was late to the Ted Lasso game. As a matter of fact, we binged all of the seasons and just caught up with everybody else maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you did. You had to absorb it all fast. And it makes for really easy, good watching, though.
It does.
I've watched and rewatched it several times. So
yeah, it has a lot of good things to say. I will say that it has a lot of good things to say. I do appreciate the show. I do appreciate what the message is for the most part. there's some campy stuff in it that I could do without, but for the most part, it was a good watch. And if this is the end, if this is, you know, I guess most people are assuming that this is not only the season finale that just dropped, it's the series finale. Then I think it was a wonderful way to tie it up. And, it's a really nice close, some really nice closure. And who knows with the way US TV networks go, there'll probably be a spinoff and it will be terrible. But for
I'm hoping there's a spinoff or two, and I'm hoping they are wonderful. Because let's be honest, what made this show, Ted Lasso may have been the heart, but it was the ensemble cast.
Yes.
And getting to see all of these different characters. And there have been some truly spectacular character arcs and growth over the three seasons. Yeah. So I do feel like there's a lot of room and potential there for others.
But those of us of a certain vintage, we all remember Aftermath. We all remember Joni Loves Chachi.
Oh,
I'm sure there's several other spinoffs that we could talk about. They all can't be Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
I'm aging myself. I don't know what vintage you are, Shabby, where you line up on the spectrum of age.
I'm a Gen Xer, so...
Okay, all right, so you know what I'm talking about.
I do, I do know what you're talking about.
You're picking up what I'm laying down.
But you know what, even for our, you know, as we get toward our millennials, you know, they had Joey, the spinoff for Friends, that I'm not even sure lasted a whole season.
Oh, that's right, I forgot completely about that. Did that actually happen, or are you sure, or was that a fever dream?
It sure felt like a fever dream, huh?
Okay. Yes, there are thousands of them. So, but yeah, the long story short, there are probably going to be some spinoffs because that's what USTV does. Hopefully, they're decent. So we'll see. The other thing that I'm late to the game too. I'm late to the game on a lot of things, Shabby. What does that say about me?
You're old, sir. That's what it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. So people are talking about TST, which is short for the soccer tournament.
Ooh, that's creative.
Yeah, no, talking about creativity. But TST is a 7v7 tournament that's going on right now, as a matter of fact, as we're recording. And I started watching it today, and I'm hooked. Like, I'm ready for a pro 7v7 league. I'd go right now. I'd watch it all.
So we need to tell CFC they just need to go ahead and, like, set up a separate TST league?
The first thing we need to do is get to somebody and say, you need to get 10 or 12 former CFC players who can take a long weekend off and next year have a CFC team, an alumni team for that tournament.
There you go.
It's like the winner wins $1 million. I don't think second place gets anything, but the winner gets $1 million. And it's fun. It's two halves of 20 minutes. And then at the end of the game, at the end of regulation, they go into what they call target time, which means if the game is tied, basically you add one goal to whoever's leading. So if the game is 3-2 to one team, the target goal is 4. If the team that has 2 goals gets 2, they win. So the first team to the target wins. Sorry, excuse me. And when you get to target time, every 5 minutes, a player from each side has to step off the field. So you go from 7v7 to 6v6, et cetera. And one game today ended 2v2. There were two keepers and two players, and it was a hot mess. But it was amazing. So the games are on tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
It's amazing looking at the teams, the people that put up sides for this tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit of everything and everybody.
Yeah, you've got former U.S. national players. You've got a team that's made up almost exclusively of former, or maybe exclusively of former women's national players.
Yeah.
You've got, like I said, former pros. you've got pub teams that it's clear that you know, they don't need to be playing. But everybody's got some, I mean, it is not bad. It's not, nothing about it today, at least what I saw today, nothing about it was bad soccer. It wasn't like me and 10 of my friends showing up and playing.
No, these are people who can play.
Like that, the Indiana University alumni team, holy crap.
They're doing really well.
They can play. So it's a ton of fun. I strongly recommend it. If you're listening to this right when we release the show on Friday, the games should be starting up. They're going to last, the group stage ends tomorrow and then knockout stage Saturday and Sunday. Check it out. It's amazing. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about, Shabby, is just a little bit about Huntsville City. There's a soccer today. I think that's Soccer America, did an article on Huntsville City. I've said a couple of times, I don't know if I've said it on here. I know I've said it on Twitter, that I find that story fascinating because they're doing Next Pro a little differently than other MLS teams. So it's a two team for Nashville, if you're not aware of that, but they're out of market. They're in a different market. They're branded differently. They're marketed differently, but they're still Nashville's two team. And the last two matches, do you know how many people they had in the last two matches, Chevy?
No, I don't.
Over 3,000 for each match.
That's fabulous.
In their new stadium. Now, who knows if it's going to last, right? But in a league that a lot of people criticize as boring and cookie cutter and just, you know, a bunch of two teams that nobody cares about, which there's a lot of truth to that. Huntsville is taking the two team in a slightly different direction. Now, some people lament this. They see it as a step towards minor league soccer in the minor league baseball. And okay, I get that. But it's fascinating to watch because I've always felt when I first heard about the MLS Next Pro, the first thing I thought was they really need to brand the teams differently. They really need FOs to connect to a local community and try to market those teams as a local team and not just a two team.
Right.
And Huntsville's doing that. And I love the fact that it's working at least a little bit. I do worry about what it means for the future of lower league soccer. But I'm intrigued by it. And I don't know if you've read anything about it. We played Huntsville City in the preseason, and they were a good side. I mean, they gave us a very good game. And so I don't know if you have followed anything with them on the next pro, or if you have any thoughts on Huntsville City or what they're doing.
I don't really. I wish them all the success. I'm afraid to look too much into it. I think part of it is because I am also afraid and worried about if MLS Next Pro is our future.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we've, Todd and I had a long conversation about this November a year ago. So over a year ago now. I guess what caused us to talk about it was Detroit City leaving NISA and everybody kind of thinking about, oh, this is the end of NISA. And if this is the end of NISA, what the heck is CFC going to do? And so we spent some time talking about it and, like what our preference would be. Do we go back amateur? Do we pay whatever it takes to get into USL, or do we try MLS Next Pro? Cause that was, at that time, I don't think that league hadn't kicked the ball yet, but we knew it existed, or it was going to exist. And it was a tough episode. I mean, it was a tough conversation to have. I think, Shabby, I think when the four of us get back, when Todd gets back from the beach, when you get back from Puerto Rico, and Shelly is on, well, maybe we spend a little time doing a revamp of that conversation and talk about what it means for a team that says it's about community. It says it's about Chattanooga. What does it mean to be a part of a league, if it means anything, with teams that are fully owned and subsidiaries of MLS franchises? 'Cause it's a far cry with what we thought or what we think of ourselves as a club. I mean, when you think independent soccer, at least in the lower leagues in this country, there are a couple of clubs that people think about. We're one of them. And what does that mean? I'm just looking forward to the hot takes. If that ever happens, shabby. If we announce, or if MLS announces that we're going to Next Pro, the hot takes on lower league soccer Twitter are just going to be abundant. And you know, what do we think about it as a community, as a fan base? You know, I don't know. I mean, as we kind of jokingly have said multiple times in this podcast, get us out of NISA, please.
But you know, I think
there's the other side to that sword.
I don't think we've got anybody in the fan base that's begging for us to stay in NISA, not in Chattanooga.
Oh no, I don't think there. No, I don't think so either. I mean, I think we've got people who are begging to leave because we're tired of the nonsense. But there's two sides of that sword. It's leaving NISA, but it's like when we look around, we're gonna have to bite the bullet. And
yeah, no, it's not pretty. I think we all know that. Our options are not pretty.
Nope. Well, we'll have to do that. Maybe, hopefully, closer to the end of the season. Maybe we'll put a feather in that, and we'll talk about it. A pin in that. You don't put a feather in it. You put a pin in it, right? So
put a pin in it. You put a feather in your cap, sir.
Yeah. Well, I don't have feathers in my caps.
I don't think you have pins to put in it.
I'm not opposed to feathered caps. I want to make that clear. I just don't have any. So we'll put a pin in that conversation. We used to, when we do leadership stuff with students, sometimes we'll talk about, if they bring up topics that aren't a part of the curriculum, we'd say we'll put that into the parking lot. We put that in the parking lot.
Yeah,
we'll parking lot that, and then we'll come back to it. So that's what we'll do. Because I think this conversation will come up, especially if we are not able to watch the Maryland match on Saturday.
Right.
So yeah. But find the article, read about, follow Huntsville. I think it's an intriguing story. The future of us aside, I think it's an interesting story. If you want to watch something I think is relevant, I don't know. Have you seen The Battered Bastards of Baseball?
I have not.
So it's a story about one of the last independent baseball teams. And when you watch it, you will not miss the parallels between lower league soccer and the old version of minor league baseball. Mm. I think as we move into maybe closer and closer looking at is NISA in our rearview mirror, we're going to be facing some of those same kind of dilemmas and questions that are brought up in that documentary about baseball. So I encourage you to watch it. I think it's fascinating. It's something that I remember vaguely hearing about when I was a kid. But not that specific team, just independent baseball. And, it's intriguing. So Shabby, we've been talking for, I wondered if you and I would have enough to talk about. And
we apparently did.
We just went over an hour. Now this episode won't be an hour, but we just went over because we always talk nonsense before we start recording. But do you have anything else that you want to talk about, or
I do, and I don't know if this segues into the things that make me smile.
Yes, go ahead and do that. Why don't we just go?
Need to talk about.
Yeah, what just move right into the outro, what do you call it, segment. You know, what's making you smile this week, Shabby?
Well, today, as we're recording this, is June 1st, which is the beginning of Pride Month and all the various Pride celebrations. And it's something that I have always felt very strongly about. I've always been a strong ally. People that don't know, don't know me also know in my professional life that diversity, equity, and inclusion is something near and dear to my heart. I work with that closely even in my day job. But today I got to share across my company about the Pride Razor initiative. And Pride Razor is making me smile. So I just want to point it out for anybody listening that hasn't already made a pledge. Go to prideraiser.org and find the Chattahooligans tile and pledge some amount per goal that our team scores in the month of June, and know that you will be benefiting the UTC Prism Center. Right now, as of the moment of recording, we are already at over $322 per goal pledged.
Awesome. Awesome. And along the same lines, we have we're getting ready to do like the center has been painted, the furniture has been put into place. I haven't been over there yet. I'm going to try to get over there tomorrow to walk through. And I'm going to try to get representatives of the Women and Gender Equity office, that the office where the Prism Center is located, to the match on the 10th, and try to buy them some tickets, add to those 500 tickets for Juan in the scholarship. So that has really made me smile, seeing the support that really for the last couple of years we've given to that office. I mean, last year we gave to Spectrum, which is the student organization. This year it's the center that will help students be successful and be an advocate for them on our campus. So I'm really excited about that. Other things that I was going to mention, we've already talked about. The TST tournament unexpectedly made me smile today. It is truly a lovely expression of soccer, and it's a fun watch. And also, we got new videos of puppies, so we're getting closer to picking the puppy. So puppies may always make people smile, right? So we're getting closer to picking Stella and bringing Stella home. Luna has no idea what's coming, so we'll see. So Shabby, anything else that or we just let these people go? Finish the rest of their day, get to bed, whatever they're doing when they're listening to us talk nonsense.
Absolutely. I just appreciate you willing to hear my voice prattle on.
That's right. That's right. We do appreciate it if you're willing to give us a good review on iTunes or Spotify. That'd be great. Reach out to us on Twitter or on Facebook or even on Instagram, since now Shelley is doing the gram thing that me as an old person, I'm not really good at. So, reach out to us, find us on Twitter. You can block me, mute me, follow me on Twitter at Chattagooner. Where can they find you, Shabby?
Find me at Shabby Bell, Shabby Belle.
All right, y'all. If we see you on the road, we got a lot of matches this weekend. Next weekend, we've got a match on the road and Juan's testimonial. Hope to see you in Finley Stadium for any one of those matches as we move forward in the men's and the women's season. But until I do see you, go CFC.
Go Blues.
Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal.